How's that?
Wow. I'll move it back down here again. I think you all heard me anyway, am I right? Okay, good, good. You know, we have this privilege. We have this wonderful privilege to be able to serve the Lord. Not out of debt. He paid the debt. But our service to Him is out of appreciation for what He's done for us. Now, I want to make sure everybody has a paper, right? And if you'll notice in the corner, there's a number there. Does everybody notice that? You have a number. Good. Because I'm going to ask you guys to read some verses for me today. And I'm going to call out a number. And if that's the number on your page, you'll be the one that I ask to read a verse. Okay? Because I like to hear you guys read. In case you don't know it, you sound a little funny. And I like to hear you talk. So I'm going to be calling on some of you guys to read some verses. Most of the verses are going to be right on the sheet that we have in front of you, so you don't have to spend a lot of time turning to it. Our first verse is right here on the top of the page, Romans 6, 17 and 18. Who has number 13 on their paper? Okay, would you read those two verses? And who has number 8? Okay, who said that? Okay, would you read the next verse, Romans 6:22?
Sure. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting.
Thank you. Look at the progression. Before we knew Christ as our Savior, we were the servants of sin. But now through faith in Christ Jesus, we are free from sin. And we don't have to serve sin anymore, but we've been brought into this glorious place where we are the servants of righteousness and the servants of God. That means that we can do things to please God. We can help Him carry out His will in the world. And I'm going to try to focus mainly on our church life, even though it's hard to limit it to that. But we are, as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, servants of righteousness, servants of God, the Most High God, we can serve Him. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to turn to the end of the book. Turn your pages over just for a minute. And go down to the last bullet point, and it says this: there is no one in the church that is without purpose or usefulness. And I want you to understand that. No matter how old you are, maybe you're shy, maybe you don't like drawing attention to yourselves, maybe you think that you can't do as good as someone else can do, I want you to understand this, and I want you to understand this clearly. There is no one in the body of Christ that does not have a purpose and cannot serve the Lord. No one. God has a purpose and a use for every one of us. And we can serve Him in some way. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses. I don't have a number, but I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read 18 through 21. So you can turn or you can listen. But this is what it says. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased Him. Now, the body of Christ is sometimes called the church of God. And when you were saved, the very day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God placed you in the body of Christ. There's only one church. Is that not right? There's only one body of Christ. The church, you can't join. You might go to some local churches and join, but you cannot join the church of God. When you accept Christ as your Savior, God puts you into the church, and He puts you there for a purpose and a usefulness. So that verse again says, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We're not all the same. We all have different personalities, traits, strengths, weaknesses. We can't all do what somebody else is doing, but we can do what the Lord wants us to do. And the Lord has a purpose for each one of us. Who has number one? Okay, would you read that? 1 Corinthians 12:22.
On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable.
Indispensable. I like that word. I like that word. King James says that they are necessary. Some members of the body seem to be, and notice that word, it says it seemed to be feeble. Maybe to us, we think that we are weak. Maybe we seem to be feeble to ourselves. And maybe we look at other people and we think that they're kind of feeble. And not only are they useful, but the verse tells us that they are indispensable, that they are necessary. And what that teaches us is that the Lord has a purpose for you in the body of Christ that no one else can do. And He counts on you to do that. No one can take your place. No one. God has put you in the body as it has pleased Him with a work to do to serve Him. He gives you that privilege to serve Him. So I really want to emphasize this morning that the truth that we all in the body of Christ can serve the Lord. We don't all do the same thing. And it's just right that we should all do the same thing. But we can all do something. And we can serve and honor the Lord by being obedient to Him and doing what He wants us to do. Let's go back to the first page now. We read the end of the story. The end of the story is kind of neat. Who has number 25? Okay, would you read Ephesians 3:7? Now, this is the Apostle Paul. And he said, I was made a minister. Now, sometimes when we think of the word minister, we think of someone who stands behind a podium and he gets a lot of attention and people tend to respect him a lot. But his brother Paul was bringing that the other day. The word minister really means a servant. It's someone who serves. If you look on your sheet here, sometimes the word is translated servant. Sometimes it's translated deacon. But it means somebody who runs errands. Someone who's an attendant. Someone who's a waiter. To minister to the Lord, to minister to His people, mean that we serve each other. We really need to have, by the grace of God, the heart of a servant. That we might think, well, I'll do this for the Lord, but I will not do that. Pride is a barrier that prevents us from being true ministers of the Lord. That somehow we think we're too good to do some things, but we don't mind doing some other things. The true heart of a servant will say, Lord, I'll do what You tell me to do. If there's any way that I can be a help, any way that I can be a help, I will do that. There's no job that You can give me that's too low for me to do. Whatever I can do to help. So when we think of the term minister, and that's what Paul was saying, the Lord has made me a servant so that I can serve You. Well, I dare say to each one of you, the Lord has made you a minister that you can serve one another in the body of Christ to help each other out, to honor the Lord. Some of the characteristics of a true servant of the Lord. Let's look at a few of those. Who has number 42? OK, would you read 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25? Thank you. I really want to concentrate on that term, must not strive. That means the true servant of the Lord is not someone who is overpowering, argumentative, who has the attitude, I'm here to tell you something, you need to listen, I'm right, you're wrong. I think we know that even for ourselves, that doesn't go very far with us. So to have a heart of a true servant, we can't be that type of person who is, like I said, a know-it-all. Someone who's going to come in and straighten you out. That's not really the heart of a servant. Who has number 31? Do you have it? Okay, would you read 1 Timothy 4:12? Thank you. Let no man despise thy youth. Paul was writing to Timothy, a young man. So maybe these words apply to you very well. As a young person, be an example. It's hard to do one thing and try to help people do something else. Even as young people, you can be the example that other people need to see to encourage them in their life for the Lord. So be aware of every day. I think that it was said Sunday by Cliff, and Paul said it yesterday, and Eric said it. Paul said it the other day, and Eric said it yesterday. We are servants of the Lord 24/7. And I think Cliff said it. He said we're servants of the Lord all day, every day. And we need to be aware of the example that we're setting to others around us to make sure this is the proper example that will help them and not lead them away to do something they shouldn't be doing. So be very, very aware of what you're doing, of what you're saying, of what you're talking about, of what you're involved in, because you are setting an example to sometimes younger people, sometimes older people. So make sure, as a true servant of the Lord, that you are aware of that and set the proper example that others could follow. The Apostle Paul said, "Follow me, even as I also follow Christ." Is your example so well that you can look at other people and say, "Why don't you do what I'm doing?" So be this example that you should be. Who has number 2? Okay, would you read 1 Peter 3:10? That's easy to do, right? To not say bad things, to not say mean things, to not say filthy things. That's easy to do, right? It's not. It is not. But this is what the Lord would have us to do as a servant of His, is to be very, very careful about the things that we say. We can hurt so easily with our tongues. Instead of helping people, we can really destroy them so quickly with the things that we say. Scripture says, let every man be swift to hear. What? I hear it.
Slow to speak.
Slow to speak. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. After all, we want to help people. We want to serve one another. We don't want to hurt each other. And the tongue is such a dangerous, dangerous member of our body. And we can be so harmful with that. So let's be very, very careful about the things that we say. Who has number 56?
I do.
Okay, would you read Romans 12:11?
Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord.
Never lack in zeal. Oh, it's hard to get people excited about the Lord when you're not excited about the Lord yourself. It's so hard to encourage people to live for the Lord when you're lazy about the things of the Lord, when you have an I don't care attitude. I really appreciated sharing a class with Brian Wolf this week about evangelism and telling people how to be saved. And he brought out the point very well. Get excited. When you tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, get excited. You're introducing them to someone who's loved you and died for you and saved you. Be excited about sharing that with someone else. Well, as someone who is saved and trying to help other people who are saved, be excited. Have that zeal, that energy, and remind one another of the love of Christ. I was so reminded with these psalms this morning. It just cheered my heart to think of how much the Lord Jesus loves me. It just cheered my heart. So these are just 4 points to look at here that we must not strive. We just can't be forceful and argumentative in trying to help one another. We have to set the right example in our own lives. We have to refrain our tongues. We have to be careful about what we say. And we need to be zealous. We need to have energy for the Lord so that we can truly minister to one another. Different ways that we can minister. Who has number 47? Okay, would you read Colossians 4:12?
Charles, how do you pronounce it?
Well, in the South, we say Epaphras.
Okay. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. Oh, what's that?
Saluteth.
You are always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God.
Have you ever thought that your prayer life is a ministry? That you can serve one another? Look what it said about this man Epaphras. Laboring fervently, or he worked hard for you in prayer. That this man Epaphras, to those that he knew and was praying for, he made sure that he spent the time on his knees before the Lord, praying for the needs of others. That's a ministry that we should all share. That we pray for one another. Who has number 20? Okay, would you read 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17?
All scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and it's doctrinal for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, refraining up to all good works.
Great, thanks a lot. One way that we minister is truly by ministering the Word. Having the Word of God to share with one another. You know, we all have different opinions about things. We're brought up differently. Our lifestyles are a little bit different. The places that we live are a little bit different. And when we offer suggestions or opinions, we're really not helping someone. But to share the Word of God with others. To minister what God has to say to those. That's a way to minister to one another. And it doesn't have to be from up here. It doesn't have to be from up here at all. One thing that we learned in our class on learning to testify is that it takes boldness. People get nervous. Well, you'd be very surprised how nervous I am standing up here. But it doesn't have to be from a podium that we talk to one another and we share with one another the Word of God. Maybe you get up in the morning and you have your morning devotions and you read a portion and it really touches your heart. And sometime during the day you find another believer and you say, let me tell you about this verse I read this morning. Oh, and that's a ministry. That is such a ministry. The scripture calls that washing one another's feet. And that's a needed ministry that all of us can do. Who has number 33? Okay, would you read James 1:27? Okay, let's divide that verse into two parts about this pure religion. His first is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions. Visit those people. Spend time with people who are in need. I was very pleased that Mackenzie, my little granddaughter, went with me to the rest home a couple of weeks ago, and she got brave enough to sing to a lady and play the guitar to her. And it just thrilled that lady's heart much more than I could do. Because she was such a young lady. Visit people in rest homes. People who are fatherless. People who are in need. People who are hurting. Take time to go to them. And just spend some time with them. Maybe share something with them from the Word of God. Share company with them. That's a very good thing that each of us could do. Now the second part of that verse is this. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. We just cannot have a true heart to be a servant of the Lord if we are mingling with the world. If we're taking up with what the world is doing, we're trying to be a part of that. This verse says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. In other words, stay away from what the world is doing, but be involved in what the Lord wants you to do. And this is one very, very good way to do it. Visit a rest home. Visit someone in their home that can't get out very much. Just go spend some time with people. It's such a very, very, very valuable ministry that each one of us can do. Who has number 7? Okay, Karina, would you read 1 Thessalonians 5:11? Thank you. What does the word edify mean? Well, we need to know what it means before we can do it, right?
Build up.
Needs to build up to help each other get strong. So we want to comfort one another. If someone is sad, go to them. Be a friend to them. And if someone is weaker, help make them stronger. Now, how can we make someone stronger? If you are a Christian, how can I help you to become a stronger Christian? It's through the Word of God that I have something to share with you to help you become stronger, to get through a trial, to get through a time of doubt, to get through a struggle. It's minister of the Word of God. Do you have to be an old man like me to do that? No, you don't. You don't at all. You can do it right now. As young people in the Lord, all these things that we looked at, praying can be a ministry. Ministering the Word to one another. Visiting those people who have needs and trying to encourage and strengthen each other. You can do that today. You can serve the Lord in that capacity today. Now, let's go on to how to serve the Lord in the church. And I'll point out that Christ is the head of the church. We get our instructions for Him. I want everybody to do this, if you don't mind. Raise your right hand. Great. Now, when your head told your hand to raise, it raised, right? You can put him down. Your head gives the instruction to the body, and the body moves. When it doesn't move, that's an infirmity. The head controls the body. And as servants of the Lord, we need to understand that Christ is the head. And when He says move, we need to move according to what He tells us to do. Oh, boy, if the body of Christ would do that, wouldn't we be much stronger? Wouldn't we honor the Lord? That each one of us realizes that I am part of the body of Christ, that God has a role for me to play. And when He says do something, then I should do it. So remember, in trying to be a servant for the Lord, that you work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we had some of that yesterday with Eric. But no matter who you work for in the workplace, you work for Christ. And He is in direct communication with you to show you what you can do to serve Him by serving one another. When the Apostle Paul, whose name was Saul, was on the road to Damascus, he learned a very important truth from the Lord Jesus when He came to him. He said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." And he learned this lesson. When you persecute the people of God, you persecute Jesus. Now let's turn that around and give a positive aspect of that. When you serve the people of God, you serve Jesus. But we move according to what the head tells us to do. We are His servants. We must wait on Him to properly minister. Now, who has number 62? Eric, would you read Matthew 25:21?
I guess I better find it.
Or it's at the bottom of your page.
Oh, okay.
Who has 22? Okay, would you read Mark 14:8? Wouldn't you love to hear these commendations of the Lord? Well done. Well done. And you have done what you could do. Oh, wouldn't that just thrill your heart for the Lord to say those things to you? Well, as we let the Lord lead us in our servanthood or ministry for Him, and we act when He says to act, then He, in that essence, puts His arm around us and says, "Well done. Well done. You did what you could do." And what a commendation that is to work for. And like I said, when we serve the Lord's people, according to the Lord's guidance, we serve Him. Let's look at a couple of ways. It's now on the next page. A couple of ways that are given in the assembly to serve one another. One, there's the role of the deacons. And the deacon, they really take care of the temporal or physical needs. Maybe clean the building, mow the lawn, visit the widows, things like that. They more or less take care of the physical needs of the church or of the assembly. Kind of simple, right? I'd like to look at one of the qualifications, and somebody's going to have to look this up in their Bible. So, who has number 44? Do you have your Bible? Thanks. Could you turn to Acts chapter 6 and verse 3? And this is where really we have the first deacons ever chosen. And remember, these people are going to wait tables, as it were. And let's look at the qualifications. So if you would read Acts 6:3. Thank you. Look at these qualifications just for someone who's going to mow the yard, just for someone who's going to clean up or maybe vacuum after everyone leaves. Honest, full of the Holy Ghost, wise. This is the type of person. And you might think, well, I don't need wisdom. I don't need to be full of the Holy Ghost in order to sweep the floor. But, you know, to honor the Lord and to represent the Lord, you do. Every little work that we do for the Lord is important to Him. And so He's not going to say, well, you know, you study your Bible a lot. I've got some important things for you to do. You're not very smart. I want you to sweep the floor. That's not the way. That's not the way it is. That even for those who would take on the servanthood of cleaning up, the Lord says, I want you to be honest, to be full of the Spirit. I want you to be wise. So these qualifications of even serving that way are very, very important to the Lord. And as we get over, we won't look at it today, but as we get over to 1 Timothy, we see that there are very, very strict qualifications for someone to serve in the assembly or in the church as a deacon. Now, another way to serve is as an elder. And where the deacons take care of the physical needs, the elders pretty much oversee the spiritual needs of those in the local assembly or those in the local church. They're the people who are not young. They're the people who have not been saved for a little while. They're people who have life experiences of raising children and running a home that the Lord may put in the position to now look out over the spiritual needs of the younger ones around you. I think it's Brother Tom. He's the first one I ever heard use the expression, and it's here in the box. Elders in training. I never heard that expression until I heard him say it. And I like that idea. Now, you guys, I'm looking at all you young guys. You don't qualify to be elders. You're too young. But one day, the Lord may put you in that position of watching out, helping to watch out over the spiritual needs of the assembly. But your training begins now. You're in training. To grow up in the Lord. To follow the Lord, to follow the example of others who watch out for your souls, as it were. And you're in training that if the Lord should desire to put you in that role one day, you'll be ready. Elders in training. And these are just two, what we might say, somewhat official roles in the assembly to serve the Lord. I have purposefully not mentioned gifts. We have gifts given in Ephesians chapter 4. We have gifts given in Romans 12. We have gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 that are given so that we can serve. And the reason I haven't mentioned those gifts is that sometimes we can get so concentrated on what my gift is that we limited ourselves to what the Lord might want us to do. If you ask me what's my gift, I would say, I'm not sure. We don't really need to concentrate on what our gift is in order to serve the Lord. So for that reason, I haven't, and I won't mention the different gifts that the Bible tells us about. But my emphasis is this. Have the true heart of a servant so the Lord can use you in the assembly among His people to minister to their needs. I know this for a fact. If you look out on a group of people, there are so many needs. There's so many hurts. There's so many sorrows. There's so much weakness that we can help. We can help those people just by going to them or maybe praying for them or put our arm around them and say, the Lord loves you by caring about their spiritual needs. You don't have to be old like me to serve the Lord in the assembly. You don't have to be a a man or a male to serve the Lord in the assembly. The Lord has something for each one of you to do as He's put you in the body of Christ, that He has pleased Him, and every one of us are necessary. Not a one of us can be done away with. The Lord has something for each one of us. I'll mention just for a second that there's also, sometimes the Lord calls people to a particular work that might cause them to leave their work, regular jobs, and go out and serve Him in a more full capacity. There's a few examples here. Paul was one. Apollos was one. We might think that Barnabas was one. That Timothy was one, who served the Lord in a way that made it hard for them to have a real job. And the Lord sent them out to do particular works. And there are several of us in this room today who the Lord has given that work to do, to minister among the assemblies or whatever He has for us to do, that would cause us to leave our jobs behind and live lives in dependence on Him. Maybe the Lord would have you to do that one day. When we have the true heart of a servant and we wait on the Lord to direct us as to what He would have us to do, He'll make that known to us. And we can serve Him as true servants. We have the expression in the book of Galatians, which is called will worship. And that really refers to people who maybe are involved in a lot of service, but it's really doing things that they like to do or things that they want to do. And so what they're really doing is worshiping their own will. And you think, you know, I love doing this. Is this the way I'm going to serve the Lord? And maybe that's not what the Lord is asking us to do. Maybe we're just doing things to gather attention on ourselves because I like people looking at me and I like people patting me on the back and I like people saying, attaboy. We can do things like that that are outside of the mind of God, and we're not being true servants of the Lord. A true servant of the Lord answers to the Lord and gets his instructions from the Lord and is obedient to the Lord. Let's go down to our last place here, our last major point. What can we do? What can you do to serve the Lord today? And again, I want to emphasize this point. The servant of the Lord serves the Lord and is accountable to the Lord. There is one head to this body, one head to this church, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we serve Him. Who has number 66? You do, Brian. Would you read Acts 9:6?
And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
What a question. What a question. Brother Paul mentioned this the other day. This is when the Apostle Paul got saved. And he started out his life of ministry by saying this, what do you want me to do? Show me what to do. So to begin to minister in the assembly or in the church, we should ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? And we should ask the Lord this all the time. Show me what to do. What can I do to serve someone today and in doing that serve you? How can I be a help? I won't go into it much because Paul did this the other day of being prepared, of training to be a servant. We're in the Word of God. We know the Word of God. We're learning and growing, so we have something to share. But still, our servanthood is dependent on what the head tells us what to do. My hand doesn't flop around like that without my head knowing about it. We need to wait on the Lord and ask Him, what can I do to serve you? Who has number 74? Okay, would you read Hebrews 13:17? Now, I just said we only have one head, but yet now we just read a verse that said, obey them that have the rule over you. Let me read that from another translation. Remember your leaders. God in His mercy and His wisdom has put us under scriptural, spiritual leaders to teach us and help bring us along. And so in our ministry to the Lord, we need to learn to appreciate and accept that scriptural ministry that we get from our leaders or from those who are older than us or over us in the Lord. And I say that specifically, scriptural ministry. People can tell us anything. And they can say, you need to do this, or you need to do this, or this is true, or this is false. We need to say, what does the Bible say? What is the scriptural ministry that you can give me? I don't need your advice. I don't need your opinion. I need to know what the Word of God says. And we say this all the time back home in our assembly. Don't take my word for it. Look in the Word of God to get that scriptural ministry. So those who teach you from the Scriptures, appreciate those people and learn to follow the scriptural truth that the Lord has given you so that you can be a true servant of the Lord. Oh, but we're told to try the spirits. We live in a day that people will say and do anything. How do we know what truth is? How do we know what to follow? It's right here in the Word of God. And our servanthood for the Lord will be founded on the Word of God. None of you are so young that you can't spend time in God's Word every day. And none of you are so young that God can't teach you precious, precious truths. And you're in a position here where you have older men and women that you can go to and say, I don't quite understand that. Can you help me understand that? And they can help lead you into truth. And if it's of the Lord, they will show you from the Bible what is true and what is not true. So learn to follow the faithful ministry of those who scripturally guide you. First Corinthians 12:22. We've already read it. I'm going to read it to you again. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Guys, you have a role to play in the body of Christ to minister to the Lord's people and serve Him by serving others. Every one of you. Everyone. And I trust that you can take that to heart. If you take nothing else away from this today, take that. I have a part in the body of Christ. I have an important part in the body of Christ. And I can serve the Lord right now. Not 20 years down the road. Not after I've gone to seminary or not after I've studied my Bible for 20 more years. You can serve the Lord right now. As you wait on the Lord and you look to Him to show you what to do. So may all of our hearts say to the Lord on a constant basis, Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to do so that I can serve you. Let's pray. Our loving God and our Father, we thank you for allowing us to be your servants. What a privilege that is to be servants of the true and living God. And that we can have direct communication with you and that you would show us what you would have us to do. Father, we thank thee. We pray that you would help us all to understand that you have something that each one of us can do in the body of Christ, and that we can serve you, that we can serve one another, that we can help one another when we wait upon you. Father, just impress that upon our hearts, that we all are privileged to be thy servants. And this we pray in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.